Welcome back to Sports Interview with Anne Liguori, and my guest is Greg James, the Director of Agronomy here at Liberty National Golf Club, and it is Northern Trust Week. So it's the first leg of the FedEx Cup playoffs, and Greg's a little busy, so we're very delighted that he's found some time for us. Welcome to Sports Interview.
Thank you, Anne.
So I'm so fascinated with the work that goes on in preparing a golf course for a PGA Tour event. Talk a little bit about what you and your team have been doing just to get it in top shape.
Well, I mean, all year long, we always try to have it in top shape for our membership. But when you get closer to an event like this, we try to really tweak it. And our mowing schedules increase on the greens. Our rolling schedules increase on the greens. And then when the tournament gets real close, we bring in about 70 volunteers to come in from around the country and around the world to help out. And, you know, then we're mowing every day, really fine-tuning all the details on the golf course to get ready for the 4 days of the event.
Wow, that's a big effort. You bring them from all over the country to help you out. So you have a team of how many?
Well, there's a team of about 25 of us on staff. Year-round, and that makes it work really well for our membership and all the details we have to do for them.
So explain, to try to describe Liberty National to my radio audience, what it's like here, just from a topography standpoint, and maybe starting with the view, which is pretty spectacular.
Yeah, after coming from Plainfield Country Club, where I was golf course superintendent for 15 years and having the opportunity to work for the Fireman family and build this property, it was really exciting to see it from the scratch starting in May of 2005 when construction started. And then just coming from more of a interior golf course with a lot of trees, and now I'm at a place where you can see the Empire State Building, now the Freedom Tower, and New York City skyline. It's just incredible.
So how does that present itself when it comes to preparing the golf course? Is there any difference? I mean, as you say, you are mostly, you know, working at Plainfield, which is has tons of trees and a lot of different topography. Here we're right by the Hudson River. It's somewhat Lynx-like. In some parts, parkland, and in other parts, what's it like out there?
Well, it's, you know, it's similar grass species wise, but you know, being a modern golf course and all the modern amenities as compared to Plainfield, which was built over 100 years ago, we have all the technology here to help you know, bring the golf course to pristine conditions on a daily basis. With the way it was built, it's very tight. You know, so you have to have a great shot down the middle, you know, to get onto the fairways and stay out of the Lynx kind of fescue that we have throughout the property.
So what's the most challenging aspect? Is it narrow fairways? Is it the greens? Is it the whole package? Getting in the rough, the high grass? What presents itself here as the most challenging?
I would say the narrowness of the fairways and just making sure that your ball's going straight, you know, for the tournament. And then with being right on the Hudson, the wind, you know, Bob and Tom designed a course where the first hole goes south, second hole goes east, the third hole goes west, and the fourth hole goes north. So you're always having wind direction changes. And then you got to start thinking, you know, what kind of club I have to use on this certain hole, depending on the way the wind is blowing.
I mean, every time I've played here, including, what, a couple weeks ago, there was always wind. So you just have to – you get used to wind, right? But having it blow in different directions on different holes like that, that's what becomes most challenging for even the professionals who, you know, have to decide, okay, what am I going to use? How does it differ from the last hole? That's interesting that, you know, you do have all that crosswind, especially I was reading on, 14th is that par – three, gorgeous hole along the water, right?
Yep.
But you could have so many different wind directions on just that short hole, right? Which makes it quite treacherous.
Yeah, because you're out there in the, you know, right along the water, and it's swirling. You know, a lot of the morning winds come out of the northwest, and then all of a sudden you'll have that shift coming out of the north or southeast, and you just don't know what to do. What kind of iron you want to hit in there?
Right.
Just 155-yard par three hole.
It's such a spectacular hole, scenery-wise, too, but it's quite challenging. I mean, it's short, as you say, 150, but as you know, with the wind, it's very, very, you can get very confused as to what club to hit there. What about some of the other signature holes? Can you talk about some of your favorite, maybe some of the more challenging holes?
Well, I like the last three holes. You know, you have 16, 17, 18. 16 is a reachable par four, so you get up to the tee and you're like, oh, I can get to that green, you know, and possibly get a, you know, an eagle on it. And then 17, when you're hitting back, slight dog leg right back into the statue with the fescue surrounding the fairway, it's just picturesque. And then 18 coming back towards the clubhouse, you know, it's such a unique clubhouse with the glass and a great finishing hole with a false frontal in the front of it. If you hit the shot in, your ball, you know, could have a chance to hit the approach and roll all the way back down about 30 yards from the green.
Right, because isn't that, it's an elevated green on 18, the finishing hole.
Yes, it's an elevated green, and it's one of those greens that we you know, had to rebuild about four times since opening the club. You know, it was a long par four originally, and then we shortened it up a little bit when the new construction of the clubhouse was built and when the tournaments all started coming in, so we shifted it a little bit to the right, you know, to get better shot values in from the fairway.
So what are your memories of some of the previous PGA Tour events here? The Northern Trust a couple years ago, it used to be the Barclays, then the President's Cup. Tell me some of the memories that you have of some of these big events here.
Well, starting in 2009 was my first tournament to run, and it was kind of really exciting, you know, brand new course, only being 3 years old, and having all the top 125 players around the world come in and see the club, see how they played it, and then get their feedback, and with the Fireman family and their excitement about hosting future events, we came in, listened to their ideas, you know, and softened some of the places they thought were a little too difficult, and then we made some places that were a little too easy more difficult, just to keep it challenging. And then when they came back in 2013, you know, the score went from 9 under par to only 11 under par, and then we change the rough. We have that ability to change the different heights of the rough, being a low-mow bluegrass. The first event was 4 inches, and then the second event, we started mowing everything down to 1.5 inches and only had 4-inch rough around the greens. So we have a lot of change we can do with these events. The President's Cup came in. That was my most exciting event. It was spectacular time of the year, the end of September. The wind was blowing. It's a match play event. And you only have 24 players, so it was a lot easier to take care of. We were able to sleep in a little bit in the morning and then get out here and get the job done before the play went. But that event, we mowed everything in the rough at 1.5 inches throughout the whole property, so it made it, you know, a better match play golf course.
So knowing the course as well as you know it, obviously, working on it day in and day out, and knowing the players here on the PGA Tour, this layout favors whom, would you say? Or how many of these guys? Can you name a couple?
It's going to favor the guy that's going to be able to hit the ball straight and then think around the greens, because you have to position yourself to, you know, tuck it, you know, because the way they set the golf course up, tucking some of the pins around some of the corners on the greens, you know, you need to know where to land the ball so it funnels towards the hole. But, I mean, my favorite player is always Phil, so... And, you know, I hope he does really well this week.
Well, he has a short game, as you're saying, that is required to deal with these tricky greens. And he knows the golf course, obviously. So I think Phil would be a good pick. How about Patrick Reed, who's won here before? He has an incredible short game. I kind of think he might do well this week.
Yeah, Patrick's a great player. I mean, he has the fire to always win every week. And, when he won in 2019, you know, it's really exciting to have him as our champion back then. And when we came up to the green, my whole crew, he was so excited for us, you know, told us how well the golf course played and was a real gentleman.
That must be very satisfying. I wouldn't assume every player does that, right? I mean, for him to give you guys that kind of credit, I love that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we get a lot of compliments, you know, throughout the week, you know, depending on the weather and how people are playing. But when Patrick won in 2019. It was really exciting to have a Masters champion win the golf course. I mean, back in 2013, we had Adam Scott come up here after he won the Masters also. So, you know, it seems like whoever wins the Masters before our event seems to come to the Liberty National and become the champion.
So are you going to pick somebody?
I root for them all. I just want them to have a fabulous time here and, you know, have a great week and, you know, look forward to another future event from whoever's going to come in first place.
Does Paul Fireman ever come around? Do you ever see the co-founder?
Mr. Fireman's always here. I mean, he's a great visionary. You know, he saw this piece of property. He saw what can become of this place. And the development that's going to happen here in the future is just—it's going to be outstanding.
I was talking to Sean about the colony of honeybees that you're very involved with. Talk about your participation in that, and it sounds—it's unique to really have a colony of honeybees at golf course. I know Sabonic does, but there's not that many golf courses around the country that does that, right?
Well, there's quite a few. I have a lot of friends that do it. You know, my friend up at Oak Hill has a colony of bees. And with Sean, Sean's our head beekeeper, so I'm just his assistant. You know, I just go out there and do all the heavy lifting for him. And he's the technique guy that takes care of those little bees and makes sure they're producing a lot of honey for the inside the kitchen.
I just think that's so great to have that kind of expertise, you know, because it does require a tremendous amount of expertise. Greg, what for my audience who, you know, for anybody out there who is interested in agronomy and becoming perhaps a golf course superintendent, what's the training required for that?
Well, you have to have the passion. I'm a graduate of Penn State University, and it's a fantastic program, but there's a lot of great other programs. You know, locally, Rutgers University has an incredible turf grass program, and there's a lot of opportunity for people to grow in this position, you know, in agronomy, and you're outside all the time. You get to meet great people and work for great people. And, I mean, there's a lot of job opportunities that are available throughout the country and throughout the world. So it's a very unique thing to be able to be a part of. And, I suggest to a lot of our guys, we get interns from around the country, to keep moving on and see what other superintendents do so you learn your own technique. And eventually, you know, they'll be up in my spot.
Well, that's great advice. And every place is so different depending on location, you know, climate, obviously. What are your particular challenges here in, you know, it's an urban location, right? You're by the Hudson River. It was on an area that was practically a toxic wasteland at one point, right? So what are your particular challenges here as an agronomist?
Well, the way the property was built, it was all remediated, you know, it was all cleaned up, and, you know, it was more of a brownfield with buildings on it, and, you know, there was an oil refinery, but it's all done and cleaned up. But, I mean, basically, you're growing grass and you're dealing with Mother Nature, so that's she can throw a curveball at you. You just have to pay attention to what's going on with her, especially like what's happening this week. Coming up, we have Tropical Storm Fred coming up, which could affect the golf course a little bit during Thursday and Friday. But, you know, we're all hoping that this high off the East Coast is going to push it west of us, and then we're going to have a great weekend.
So just say there is a lot of rain. As an agronomist, what's plan B? What do you do?
Well, plan B is having all our volunteers ready. And, you know, we have our squeegees, you know, to push the water off. But the way the golf course was built, it drains really well. So, you know, we can get an inch of rain and we could be back out playing within the hour the way the golf course drains.
Plus a lot of wind. That helps, too. Drying out the golf course, right?
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of wind will help dry out the golf course and then make it more challenging for the player.
It should be exciting. I really appreciate it, Greg James. Thanks for taking the time and continued success, and have a great week here at the Northern Trust.
Thank you, Anne.